Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. March is Women's History Month in the U.S., and 2020 marks an important milestone for women's rights. It's the centennial of the ratification of the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which affirmed that women have a right to vote. South Dakota passed its own suffrage amendment more than a year before the federal act was ratified, but it took time, and it wasn't easy. Major John A. Pickler and his wife, Alice Alt Pickler, were two of the earliest advocates for women's suffrage in Dakota Territory. Their advocacy laid the foundation for the work that followed in South Dakota. On today's Images of the Past, we'll look at the legacy of the Picklers in the state politics and in the town of Faulkton, where they settled and built a home way back in 1882. Joining me now is Jody Moritz, president of the Fault County Historical Society. Jody, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And you can find pictures and stories on our website and follow along with us at sdpb.org. Go to that main site and look for the Images of the Past tab. Jody, tell us a little bit about the Picklers. First off, let's start with the people and then let's talk about their house.
Well, John first came to Fault County in 1882 and helped to establish the town of Faulkton, staked out his claim and built a little claim shanty that he lived in, and then began to build a house around that claim shanty. She came to join him in 1883, and then they began to add on to their house and add on to their house until they finished the construction of it in 1894. And then it was painted pink. And the reason it was painted pink was because they hired a man by the name of Charles Greener to paint the house. Mr. Greener was a local landscape and portrait artist, and he painted portraits of both Mr. and Mrs. Pickler and other people. And he said he wanted this house to be a salmon pink, a pink lady, and so it should forever remain pink, and so it is.
And so it's still pink. I was going to say, how do we get to pink? And how do you get to, you know, this claim shanty to this really what becomes a mansion in its time? How do the additions and the growth of the house kind of evolve?
Well, he started with his little claim shanty, which was a little 6x8 shack. And then he, when he went home for the winter of 1882-83, so he left here in late October of 1882 and came back in the spring, he commissioned a couple of the bachelor men that stayed here on their claims, because they had to stay on their claims for a whole year, and he was filing a preemption. And so they built him what he had laid out as adding the dining room and the master bedroom and two little rooms up above for his daughters that they had at the time. So he came back in the spring of 1883 with the daughters, and Mrs. Pickler wouldn't come with him because she had a brand new baby. Their son had been born in 1882, and she didn't want to come to the rooms because they weren't plastered. So she came in the fall of 1883 and then, of course, began to decorate. And then they started adding on to the house. Well, because they were he was serving in the territorial legislature and they were having visitors. And so the first thing they do was they added a kitchen on instead of the little lean-to that they had. And then next they add on to the porch and they add a summer kitchen. And then they add a bathroom and then a front parlor. And then when the town of Lafoon went belly up, which was the original county seat of Fault County, in 1886, the railroad bypassed Lafoon and came into Faulkton. And all the buildings, as they say, took wheels and moved into Faulkton. And the Picklers bought that hotel building and attached it to the house. And so that is where the library of the house is now, isn't it? And so they just kept adding on and adding on until they were done in 1894.
Wow. Do you see the original shanty, the original claim shack? Does anything remain of that?
You can tell where it is, yes. Uh-huh. When I give my tours, I usually step into that area and point out to people that this is where the claim shanty originally was. And part of it's in the dining room still.
That's an interesting sort of visual representation of where a family started and where they ended up, to just be able to stand in that little, you know, tiny space and say, this is where an idea began and this is where they landed. Fascinating. Right. How about the furnishings? Is a lot of it original to the house?
All of the furnishings are original.
Wow.
We've added rugs. Some of the rugs are original, but we've had to add rugs because some of them over the years were destroyed. The curtains, of course, we've replaced, but we tried to replace in a pattern following the granddaughter's instructions. And she ordered these handmade curtains, and that's what we put up. And so we've been using them since the late 1980s. And we just kind of followed the instructions that they left for a lot of things. And so, yeah.
What can you tell about this family based on, and I want to talk about the archives and the letters too, but just based on a furnishings standpoint, what can you tell about how they lived and what they were, you know, how do those artifacts speak to us today?
Well, they were a real, you know, while it's the largest house in town, and of course in the olden days they called the largest house in town a castle, so that's why we call it the Pink Castle, but they were really common people. And when he was in Congress, he was working for veterans' rights. He was a veteran of the Civil War, and they, you know, he believed in equality, and, you know, the banner hangs on the wall that says Votes for Women, and the Susan B. Anthony's portrait hangs in the house. He believed in equality for everyone. Black, white, the Native Americans. There's a portrait of Chief Red Cloud in the house because John and Chief Red Cloud spoke before Congress for Native American rights. I mean, they really were people that were ahead of their time.
Mm. And you mentioned Susan B. Anthony. So let's talk a little bit about the correspondence and some of the papers and books and papers in the library. You started looking for a connection. Tell us a little bit about this talk, suffrage, and how some of this connection unfolded.
What happened originally was, I think you know who Sally Rush Wagner is.
Yes.
She was going to portray Elizabeth Cady Stanton in The Great Plains Chautauqua. Sure. She was studying in Rochester, New York at the archives, and they came across a letter from Mrs. Pickler to Susan B. Anthony in the archivist. And Sally said, well, my aunt was a bridesmaid at Mrs. Pickler's granddaughter's wedding. And the archivist said, well, do you suppose that she has her grandmother's letter from Susan B. Anthony? And she said, well, we'll find out when I get back to Aberdeen. So she came to Aberdeen and met with Mrs. Bull, the Pickler's granddaughter who was living there. And so they both came down and met with our Historical Society officers and the sheriff's office, because the house was wired for security into the sheriff's office, and he was kind of watching out for it. And so she said, well, why don't you get a grant from the South Dakota Committee on the Humanities and catalog all the books and papers in the house? When you do that and you prove to me that you're sincere in working on this historical stuff, then I'll give you the house to become a museum, because I can't do it. Uh-huh. And we said, okay. And so I was project director for that. And so we cataloged the books and papers. And there's over 2,550 books in the house. And
wow.
More than 5,000 papers that we ended up. And so we wanted to find that Susan B. Anthony letter, which we started in April of 1987. And it was not until in August going through all the papers before we found it. And we had 48 different volunteers that helped work and sort through the papers. It was such a huge volume. They kept track of everything. Sometimes the house was vandalized and the papers were mixed up, but there was... It was like 6 feet deep in the attic of papers stacked up, and it was just unbelievable. But we're not in archives, and we said to the family once we got this done and boxed up, we had it in boxes, in storage boxes, and we put it in the vault of the courthouse. And we said, you know, this needs to go to the archives. So at that time, Linda Summers was the state archivist, and she came with a truck and took it to Pierre.
I'm so emotionally invested in this story right now, because I can imagine these volunteers, and I mean, you're looking through all this material, and at any moment it can be vandalized for one thing, or not preserved. And when you first found out that this letter from Susan, this, you know, one of the letters,
One of the gals starts yelling, I found it.
You know, it's like a movie.
And we're looking at it, you know, and we were so excited, you know, and then we start reading them at the end. That one, I think one of my favorite ones was where Susan B. Anthony was said in the letter that because Pickler had introduced a bill in the Dakota Territory Legislature enfranchising women, and it passed the Territorial House and the Council, but it was vetoed by Governor Pierce. She said in her letter to them that Pierce should go down in history for his acts of cruelty against the women of the two Dakotas.
Wow. Remember that. Yeah. You fell on the wrong side of history, Governor Pierce.
Yes. Well, he just said it wasn't the right time, so he wasn't going to sign it.
When you look at the work that you've done, I think it also speaks to this idea of so many people in so many counties across South Dakota with so many individual pieces of paper and so many volunteers. Why is it important to you to gather people and preserve that? Because it's not a given that it becomes, that it's taken away in a truck to the archives. All of that could have been lost if it was not for the effort of people who found it important.
Well, that's true. I don't know, I guess I've always been raised that way, in my family. My grandmother taught me to do family history stuff, and, I always loved the stories. And so, I just started delving into this. I wanted to go in the Pickler House when my husband and I first moved to Faulkton in 1977, and I couldn't. But in 1980, I did a story about suffrage with the Pickler's granddaughter, Mrs. Bull's late sister, and she then told the sheriff that he could take me into the house. Mm. And I wanted to see it. It was starting to fall apart, but I only got to go see the first floor, so I only had... I got to see the library and, all the things. It was just wonderful. Oh, it would be. So when they approached us, Sally and Mrs. Bull, about, I said, come on, board. This is what our history, our society is all about, is preserving the history of our county. And we learned so many things that we didn't know about the Picklers and the family. I mean, he donated the land where our school is today. There's all kinds of things that...
And there's stories that you're still finding today and people who are still taking tours and having that excitement and those ideas of what they want to know that, hasn't been searched in the archives, after a tour as well. That's fascinating work.
Yeah.
And an important year to acknowledge it as we look at the 100th year of suffrage. We just have about a minute left, but I'm wondering, were they criticized, the Picklers, for their role, for this sense of, finding?
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
Especially him. When he served in Congress and spoke for it, they called him Petticoat Pickler and said he was hiding behind the skirts of his wife and daughters.
Interesting. Jody Moritz is president of the Fault County Historical Society, and you can find more on our website for images of the past at sdpb.org. Jody, thank you so much for being here with us today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.